Take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you, Andrew. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll read verse 13 and you read verse 14 with me. And we read here from the King James Bible, and that's the only Bible I preach from. If you don't have a King James Bible, please don't read out loud. It'll cause confusion. Just kind of maybe follow along on somebody else's Bible. Amen. Look at verse number 13 there. I'll read that and then you read verse 14 with me. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's perfect and it's pure. We need your help, Lord, so your word can transform our minds and we can see this world through your eyes. Please speak to our hearts. Bless your word to our hearts and help us as your children. And Lord, if somebody doesn't know your peace that they belong to, please help them to see how simple it is to place their faith in you died for, and let today be their salvation. Please, Lord, we ask for you to be honored and glorified. And you can have a seat there. When you read, this is a very important passage. Not all parts of the Bible that God tell us are supposed to comfort us. And as our church has a loss with Brother Manuel Chrysostomo going to heaven, I hope you as a Christian understand heaven is a real place. It's real like this pulpit is real. It's not a only spiritual place, the home of God where God dwells. But this piece of scripture here, God says, when we suffer loss, this is supposed to be the passage that we comfort each other with. Well, you can't do that if you don't understand it. Let's kind of go through it here. I know it's talking about the rapture. I understand that. But look at verse 13 carefully, and it says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Ignorant, you've heard me say, does not mean stupid. It means untaught. It means unlearned. He said, there's something you need to have a good knowledge of and not be ignorant of. And that is when we die, our body goes in the grave, but our spirit and our soul go to be with the Lord if you're a child of God. Everybody doesn't go to heaven. Nor does everybody go to hell. Everything balances on what you do with Jesus Christ. Salvation is a person. So God says here that, notice this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. What that means is their body is in a horizontal position. But when you die, there's only one cult that teaches soul sleep, and that's the Seventh-day Adventists. And they say, well, when you die, it's like going to sleep, and then you wake up one day, and you appear before the Lord, and it's judging. That is nowhere found in the Bible. The word asleep is used to say when our body is laid flat. Death is when the body gets so tired, it can't continue, when it's a natural cause. I'm not talking about the horrible car wreck that was yesterday. I'm talking about, that was Friday, wasn't it? I'm talking about a natural death. You begin to die when your body starts to age, and then it gets tired and more tired until finally the heart stops beating. That is, then the body goes asleep, but not your soul or spirit. We'll look at it this morning. God plainly says a person, whether they go to heaven or hell, is aware of everything. But their body is asleep because one day
it's going to rise again. Okay? So it says it says here concerning them which are asleep, and then notice this verse here. Verse 13, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. When death happens, the saddest part to me, death is, you've heard me say this, just stick with me for a second. Death is not the worst thing that can happen. Dying without Christ, the worst thing that can happen. Tomorrow's service that we'll have for Brother Chrysostomo, it is a homegoing service where we'll have a loss because he's no longer with us, but a rejoicing because heaven is real. But the funerals that I've done, where everybody knows, I've been called to the funeral homes, would you do a funeral for this person? And you know, I'll say, okay, what's the backstory behind, and they'll give me a light overview. Yeah, this person was killed in a drug deal, and this was, you know, the shooting took place. Okay, when someone dies in a sad setting like that, there's a strong, I'll say, did they go to church anywhere? Where'd they go to church? No, they didn't go to church. They ran with this gang and this and doing this. Okay, I don't know if the person was saved or not, but I would say the opportunity is pretty strong in that direction. And the saddest funerals I've done are where people, I had to do a funeral one time for somebody that got drowned. They were drowned by three other guys. And they said, would you do the funeral? And this was in Tennessee. And I said, well, sure. I walked in there. The place was packed. Everything was fine until the three guys walked in, did it, and sat down. It was, there was, for that person that died without Christ, there was no hope. When you breathe your last breath and you're lost, the burning begins and it never stops. There is no hope when someone dies without Christ. God says, that's why I say tomorrow, no, I miss Brother Chrysostom. He won't be in church again, but I rejoice that I'll get to see him again. Amen? Because a Christian never sees somebody for the last time they're saved, right? But where people, I wish people understood, when death happens, when it becomes hopeless, is when they're lost. They can't come back. They don't get a second chance to be saved. Their fate and eternity is sealed. God says when we pass, we're not supposed to look at each other's death as hopeless. That's what the world does. I feel so sorry for the world. The world says, this is all we have, and if you die, this is all they have. If you're saved, you're supposed to have a knowledge of heaven. In other words, let's just talk about my death for a second, okay? You're going to die? I'm going to die someday. I hope it's no time soon. But if I die tomorrow in a car wreck, because that's the Lord timing for my life, I know I'll go to heaven because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, right? Now, God says, don't sorrow as those that have no hope. In the funerals back in these days, sometimes they would hire mourners. And they would put a person over here, and let's just say this was where they were viewing. They had viewings, and this is where the body was. They'd put a person over in that corner, and they would pay them to scream. So when you walked in to see, you'd hear people, they would do it for like a couple hours. God says, that's not supposed to be for you. We don't hire mourners at a Christian homegoing. Because we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We feel loss. We hurt. But we don't. I watched one lady. She lost her mom. And her mom died at age 83. And was saved and went on to heaven. This couple was in our married couples class. And when her mom passed, she never went to church again. I said, what? Your mom wouldn't want that. Your mom would want you faithful to church. I can't, and this is what she kept saying, I can't believe the Lord took my mother. If you're saved, you're going to see her again, and 83 is a wonderful life. Amen? I mean, I'm not, I hope you live forever, but you're not going to. I thought she never came to church again. She got angry at God, and yet she said she was saved and her mother was saved. Does everybody understand? Verse 13 says, your thinking about death has to be different from the world. It's not the final stopping spot. It's not, death is not final. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 16. Watch this. For us, I'm talking for us. That's why we should want to tell lost people about the Lord, right? so you don't die without Christ. Because that is the worst thing that can happen. But if you're saved, notice what Jesus told us in John 16. Look at verse 16. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now look down at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow. And then look at these words. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. See those words? I will see you again. Jesus said, I'm going to die in your place. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to ascend to heaven, but I will see you again. For a child of God, if you're a believer, because you've trusted Jesus, listen, death is not final. It's not final. The old beautiful song from the 60s, I'll see you again, I'll see you again, I'll see you in heaven someday. Beautiful old song, I'll see you again. Jesus taught us that. Death is not final. Your thinking has to be correct. Listen to these quotes. For the born-again child of God, listen, the fear of death is worse than death. You know why death is scary? Because none of us have experienced it, praise the Lord. I joke around and I say, the unknown is what scares us. But heaven's not supposed to be unknown to you, right? The experience of death, yeah, that's unknown. But heaven's not supposed to. Jesus promised it to you, right? If you place your faith in Him, I've been promised heaven. To live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. Campbell said that. A preacher from the 1800s. We are but tenants. Shortly, the great landlord will give us notice that our lease has expired. We live on God's earth. We take God's time. We drink God's water. We eat God's food. And we're only here for a little time. How about this? Depend on it. There is no pain in dying. The pain we experience is in living. Spurgeon said that. Interesting thought. These are for Christians now. This isn't for everybody. Spurgeon also said, men have been helped to live by remembering that they must die. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 72. I'm going to read you a different passage, but go right in the middle of your Bible to Psalm 72. You're going to Psalm 72. I'm going to read to you Job 18. And Job 18, which is right before Psalms, has an interesting statement. I love the Bible. It's wonderful to think about. It's God's thoughts. But listen how God describes the devil. In Job 18:14, it says, his confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. Terrors. Do you all understand? The devil works by fear. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. But the devil steers people through deception and fear and gets them running in this direction and running in this direction. He's the king of terrors. He's the king of fear. God doesn't run us that way. God doesn't operate in a Christian's life that way using terror. That's the devil's tactic. Amen? Look at Psalm 72. Look at verse 14. This is God's description of the death of the body. Look at Psalm 72:14. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. That's not every person that dies. That's every child of God. Some of our Christian brothers in 2,000 years of history have been burned to death. They were tortured. They were killed in torturous ways. And God says, precious is their blood in his sight. That means when a Christian dies that belongs to the Lord, God says that is a precious time if they're saved. Some die simply. I like what one pastor just wrote me. I told you about it 5 months ago. His dad was 92. He said, my dad took a shower last night. He got in his jammies. He climbed into bed. He was a preacher for, I think, 52 years. He climbed into bed and he went home to bed. You talk about a simple, easy, as a son, he said, the way my dad went to heaven, it was just so peaceful. Everybody doesn't die that way. But God says, if blood happens, precious in his sight. You're in Psalm 72. Watch this. Go to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. The word precious means highly valued. God counts it precious when His children who've trusted in Him, their body gives up the ghost, and then they go home to be with Him. That time is a precious time. Let me just use Thursday night at 11 o'clock when Brother Manny went to be with the Lord. That death, in God's, it was a holy time as he went to be home. So, now why are you covering this, preacher? Because if we're not going to sorrow like the world, then our thinking has to be different. And as you read the Bible, God teaches us to think differently about death than the world. But if this world is all you're living for, then, Christian, there's a better way to live. This world is not all I have. I'm going to live forever. Did you know everybody's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell? But you only live on this earth for 70 years. God calls it a blink compared to time. I only have a short time on this earth. I'm going to die. My view has to be right. Now take your Bible and go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14, the last book of your Bible. There is, you know, just because I have a Bible view of death doesn't mean I'm suicidal. Just because I long for heaven and want to be with the Lord doesn't mean I'm depressed. I think as a Christian, we're all supposed to be looking forward to the day we get to see Jesus, the one that died for us. That's part of Christianity. Right? That's part of what God gives us, a lively hope. You're there. Look at Revelation chapter 14. Watch verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. God says when a child of God dies, blessed are those that die in the Lord. Blessed. The word blessed means happy because blood was shed. That's what, if you're blessed, only a Christian can be blessed. Everybody is not blessed. But if you die in the Lord, you can be happy because blood was shed for you on Calvary that you placed. Blessed are those that die in the Lord from this point forevermore. What a verse. What a verse. Trying to help you this morning. Watch this. Go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. There's three things that we don't know about death. Okay? Just because we're saved doesn't mean we know everything about death. We know God wants us to learn about heaven. But what do you know about death? Okay? I don't know when, I don't know where, and I don't know how. I just know. Let me say it again. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know where I'm going to die. And I don't know how I'm going to die. But I do know this, I know I'm going to die. As sure I can look you square in the eye and say, yep, this body is going to cease to exist someday, but not my soul, amen? Not the part of me that God created that's me. Here we go. You're now in Luke chapter 16. This is so important to help us understand what happens when we die, okay? Look at verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That teaches me what happens when you die. If you're saved, when your heart beats for the last time, God says in two places, this is one, two places, when your heart stops beating for the last time, the angels carry you to where the home of God is. That's the home of heaven. You don't go to a different place. You don't go to a place to wait until Jesus comes again. All of that stupid teaching, you immediately go to be with the Lord if you're saved. Now let's look what happens if you're lost. If you die without Jesus, look at the last part of the verse. The rich man also died and was buried. And in, notice it's a semicolon there, right, at the end of the verse. It's not a period. Look at verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The Bible teaches us, God teaches us, that when someone dies without Christ, when their heart stops beating for the last time, the burning begins and the screaming for one drop of water, not a glass. If you dip your finger in water and it normally at one, maybe two drops will come off, the screaming begins and the burning begins. Have you ever wondered how come Lazarus has a name? He goes to heaven. He's carried by the angels. But this is a rich man with no name. That's because when you read Revelation 3:5, if you don't get saved before you die, God blots your name out of the book of life, to where when you stand before God as a lost person, he'll say, I never knew you. I don't even know who you are. My son died for you, shed his blood for you, rose again for you. You tried to earn your own way to heaven. I don't even know you. How come the rich man doesn't have a name? Because God says, if you won't trust my son who gave his life for you, I will eternally forgive. What a verse. I think that verse ought to be marked in your Bible. It tells me what happens. Of course, we could continue this. I want to now take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go back to the thought of Lazarus. When he died, he was carried by the angels into heaven. What happens when a Christian dies and they're saved? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 1. Ready? For we know, we don't think or hope, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's our body, were dissolved, that's God's description of death. When this body dissolves, we're 82% water. So if you took all the water out of the human body, it ends up being a pile of minerals and salts, about, I think it's right around 12 or 15 pounds. When our body dissolves, when this body, I love God's description of a Christian. Ready? Watch this. When it's dissolved, we have a building or a body of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. My body that I'm going to one day live in, not this one, is already in heaven if you're saved. Your new body. My new body has no glasses. Amen. I got three fillings. My new body is perfect. It has no fillings. My new body is not chunky. It's perfect. It's just the way God made. This body is abused and hurt. All right? But the new body, I won't need hearing aids anymore. Glory to God. In my new body, that's in heaven. Everybody see that? When this body is dissolved, it's already waiting for me. Isn't that wonderful? Okay? Look at verse 2. For in this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Christian, what's wrong with longing for heaven? One day, I'm looking forward to, okay, this morning when I got up, I reenacted the resurrection. I mean, I was groaning and everything. And I had my blessed cup of coffee. But one day, I'm looking forward. I'm going to lay this old sinful flesh down. And it's not going to hurt anymore. It's not going to suffer. I'm looking forward to being clothed upon with in heaven. I'm looking forward. You should too if you're saved. Watch it. Keep on reading. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. There's that word groan again. Being burdened. Not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Watch. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I wish you'd mark verse 8 in your Bible. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I'm going to give you a thought. The best part about death is that I get to be with the Lord. I won't be absent from. I've never seen the one I've preached about. I've believed on him. I know he's real. He died for me, but I've never looked into the eyes of someone who's never. One day I will. And the best part for me, for us, if you're saved, is you get to be with the Lord. That's why sometimes I'll say, if I ask somebody, you know, just in talking, I'll say, you're looking forward to heaven. And they'll say, oh, yes, looking forward to, you know, my seeing grandma again and getting looking forward to see my uncle that died and getting forward to. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Is there any longing that says, I'm going to get to see the one that died, that gave his life? There should be some, right? I want to see family too. But the best part about death for a Christian is they get to be with the Lord and see him. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Remember, this morning's sermon, we started in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a chapter that we're supposed to comfort one another with. Because we're all death hurts. My mom's going to go be with the Lord sometime. She doesn't recognize me anymore. Her the dementia. My grandmother, when she her mom, she passed the same way. I cry at funerals, but I don't sorrow as those that have no hope. It's not hopeless. I'm going to see them again. And I want you as a Christian to say, you know what? I do feel the loss. I feel like a part of me is missing, but I'm not hopeless. I'm looking forward to heaven. Amen. You're in Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 21. Philippians 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to live for Christ. To live is Christ. But if I get to die, I'm gaining a lot more than I lose as a Christian. Isn't what a wonderful thought? That's how we're supposed to view death. Remember, if you're saved, death is gain because I'm blessed. We read that in Revelation. I get to be with the Lord. We just read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's so many things that happens to me that is gain if you're saved. If your view is right, let's keep on reading. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. I'm at verse 22. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. Please notice verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. Please notice the last four words, which is far better. When I read the Bible, God's trying to teach us death for us, if you're saved, is gain. And if someone's lost, it's the worst loss. You understand? They lose everything is lost when they die without Christ. And if you die with the Lord because he's your Savior, everything is gain. Then it says to be with the Lord is far better than here. Not better, far better. Christian, think about that. Look, there's nobody in our church that I want to die. But I'd be a fool to think you're not going to die, right? Our thinking about death when this physical body stops needs to be controlled with the Bible, not movies and Hollywood. They're all wrong. Have you ever noticed in the movies, everybody that dies goes to a peaceful place? I think it's so sad. You know, when Lucille Ball died, right, in the early 90s, headlines, where's Lucy? The one that made America laugh. She had no use for God. She was pretty open about it. She's probably one of the most famous people in Hollywood. When this headline said, where's Lucy? Lucy's in hell. When Bob Hope died, 10 years ago or something like that, it was fairly short, left $51 million. He was the comedian, the clean comedian that never cussed, right? Helped soldiers all over the world. He plainly said, I have no use for God. Where'd Bob Hope go when he died? Everybody wants to think, oh, he made me laugh. He'll be in heaven. People that make you laugh don't get to go to heaven because they made you laugh. Anybody who will be in heaven will be there because they trusted Jesus as their Savior and knew they didn't deserve being there. Where's Bob Hope? I don't rejoice that anybody's in hell. Bob Hope's in hell. If he believed what he said he believed, Bob Hope has been burning now for over a decade. I don't care if it's Robin Williams committing suicide in 2014. Pick any celebrity you want. You know, celebrities we've lost in 2020. Who cares? They don't care. They'll never attend your funeral. rock stars, we've lost. Hey, isn't it amazing? Most of the rock stars that die all die of a drug overdose. Every once in a while, one of them dies normally. But most of them, drug overdose. Might be because they're nasty people. I don't rejoice that they're in hell. But Christian, everybody doesn't go to heaven. But the world, oh, now, there was one celebrity rock singer that just, oh, they had, I think it was last year, Eddie Van Halen, guitarist, died. That was a godless, wicked individual. Yet all on the comments, it said, rest in. I was like, he cussed God. He hated God. But boy, in the world, everybody goes to heaven. And I'm just telling you, Christian, your thinking should be different. The Bible teaches us you're saved and on your way to heaven because you placed your faith in the one who died for and rose again. Then your view of death and heaven, totally different, totally different. Tomorrow, you say, why'd you preach this? Because I think a lot of people, Manny, he was a wonderful person to be around. They were sweet as they'd come in and help with the breakfast. You know, he cleaned our baptistry for us. There's several things in our church. He was used of the Lord here. We're going to miss him. But I wanted us thinking, Scripture, I'm going to see him again. Christians never see each other last. And he has gained his past. It's far better. And I don't want him to come back. I've often thought, you know, I kind of joke around a little bit and sometimes too much. But I always thought, you know, if somebody's sick with cancer, and somebody says, Lord, please send them back. Please send them back. And if God, God won't. But if God said, okay, and that person could come back, they'd be like, who prayed for me? You. Oh, you're here. I was just been praying for 3 days that you'd come back. You're finally back. Come here. Come here. Come here. What are you doing praying for? How dare you? I want to go back. Right? Because they're in a far better place. I probably took that too far, okay? But thank you for laughing, okay? Tomorrow, we're going to have a service for Brother Chrysostom. There will be lost people here that will not understand what we're talking about. You know what they need to do? They need to get saved. Somebody needs to love them enough and care for them enough to show them how to go. But us, we rejoice in heaven, and that's our view. And I hope this sermon is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Bless thee, please. Help us.